Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free, starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today. With CMF Curo, you don't have to compromise your faith to get great health care. Finally, there is a pro-life option that respects and engages your Catholic faith with a community that supports you in living health care fully alive. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side. So raise your glass.
You know, it just occurs to me, it's weird that we say that before we've popped the bottle.
Well, let's do it really fast.
It's just a turn of phrase.
Yes.
Really. Yeah.
So last week we had John Sablon on. However, we had some technical difficulties. The audio did not come out as well as what we hoped. We were going to have John.
Or even well at all.
Yeah, or even well at all. Yeah, that's accurate. We're going to have him back on. However, he had some issues where he was not going to be available this evening. Keep him in your prayers, he and his family. We're going to have him back on soon. But today, I just said, Dave, it's been kind of hectic recently. It'd just be good just to have a combo with you and
sweet,
chill.
Sweet.
So,
I'm down.
So we're going to just kind of have a little bit of a drink.
Show the people what we're drinking.
Yeah, so this evening we're drinking the Koval 4-Grain.
You scoot that up a little bit. It's kind of weird.
Oh, sorry. Yes. There we go. The 4-Grain is distilled from a mash bill of oat, malted barley, rye, and wheat. There's the four.
Okay.
This whiskey is aged heavily in charred new oak barrels from Minnesota and bottled a single barrel at 94 proof.
Right on.
The 4-Grain's define its depth with a banana nose, a creamy palate, and a spicy finish. One of the things that
definitely has banana on the nose.
One of the things that's unique about Koval is that they only take the heart cut, which means, you know, so there's...
Yeah, what is that?
So, you know, there's the angel share at the top.
Well, no, the angel share is what evaporates
right.
from... Yeah.
Right. But it comes from the top, you know... It evaporates up from the top.
Okay.
There's the devil's cut at the bottom.
Well, the devil's cut is just in the wood all around.
Well, no, it's at the very bottom.
No.
It's
the devil's cut is the whiskey trapped in the barrel, but it's not just trapped in the bottom. It's trapped anywhere
is at the
because
bottom.
You know they turn the barrels. Mm-hmm. You know it's not like they just sit there. No, it's all the whole barrel.
Okay.
Is got whiskey in it that they can't get out.
Right.
Well, unless. Okay.
My understanding was, I'm sorry then, but so the heart line is just the middle portion. It's not the top because the top would be, is less concentrated. The bottom is more concentrated is my understanding.
Interesting.
So the heart cut is just the middle part of the whiskey in the barrel.
Huh.
So that's
okay.
My understanding.
As long as you don't waste the rest of it. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think
I wouldn't
that.
Imagine that they would.
No. Hey, let's cheers and let's try it. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. So, it does have a banana nose, like almost a banana cream. There's some vanilla,
yeah.
So it's like almost kind of a banana cream.
A lot of times tasting notes are kind of out there. I'm 100% agreeance. Banana on the nose. It is a very creamy, it's got a creamy palate. With a spicy finish.
Yeah. at 94 proof.
That's like a good generalization of what you get right here. But what do you have to buy it in such a little bottle?
No, this was a gift. This is a gift set.
Okay.
So it had the rye whiskey, the regular bourbon, and then the four grain. So you got a little, you get to try a little bit of everything, you know.
And they're variety. From, they're from Illinois.
Yeah, Chicago. And all their sources, all their grains are sourced at the Midwest region.
Okay.
Organic.
Very cool.
So
yeah, that's a good, that is a really good whiskey. I was kind of curious to know what it was going to taste like, if it was going to be real different having all four of the grains in there. But it's, if you had given this to me and not told me anything about it, I wouldn't have known that there was anything necessarily special about all those grains. You know what I mean?
Right. I think there is some complexity, a little bit more complex, because we had the bourbon last week. I think this is a little bit more complex than the bourbon. Juan, do you agree?
Strongly.
Juan strongly agrees.
He wasn't even here last week.
Yeah.
Were you here last week?
Yeah, man.
You know, I have children.
That's what you're going to blame it on? You're going to blame it on the children? If this is your first time listening,
I think it would be a fair.
If this is your first time listening, Dave, today we're opening and reviewing and enjoying a man beverage.
Indeed.
We typically do that every show. Typically, we're gonna we highlight a man gear, and then we have a manly discussion. But today, we're just going to relax and have just a conversation in general.
So we would encourage you to sit back and relax yourself. Hopefully, if it's appropriate for you, you're enjoying a manly beverage along with us.
How's your prayer life?
You know, my prayer life is good.
Is it?
It is.
Isn't it interesting? So Deacon Lamar from the Diocese of Tulsa, he came to talk at Haley's RCI. This was back in 2012. And he started off with saying, like, why do we not ask each other how our prayer life is?
Yeah.
Why is that kind of an abstract idea? You know, prayer is the oxygen to the soul.
Yeah. It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
I think it would be a weird question to ask somebody that you didn't know very well, you know?
Sure, but to get to know them better?
Yeah.
That's a quick way to get to learn.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Learn about them a little bit more.
Definitely. I think it's actually a more personal question than it kind of comes off as. You know, because it doesn't seem like, oh, how inappropriate to ask. You know, that's a very personal question. You shouldn't ask, you know, that personal question.
Yeah. It's not like
you're going to offend anybody by asking.
It's not the same thing as like, how's your sex life?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Or, you know, how's your what's your medical?
I think we've ran. I mean,
yeah.
These examples are.
What was the last thing you discussed with your doctor?
Right. Yeah. How much money do you make before taxes?
Yeah, before taxes.
Anyway,
but it is a very personal question.
Yes.
Because you know what could be more important than your relationship with God? But no, I think my prayer life is doing well. It goes ups and downs, like everybody.
You have a very regimented prayer life.
Yeah, I do have a regimented prayer life. And I don't regret the regiment.
Words are hard.
The rigorousness.
Well, it's not rigorous. Rigorous is different from regimented. Rigorous would be hard. Mm-hmm. I like that it's regimented. Mm-hmm. The thing I don't like about it often is that it's very structured in that I say this prayer at this time, and then I do this prayer at this time, and this. And at the end of the day, that's good because I've, you know, made sure that I'm consistently devoting time to prayer, but I don't always have a lot of time for kind of contemplation
or meditation.
Or even just spontaneous prayer.
Or like just listening to God.
Right. Yeah. So that would be my personal critique, but brought it up with my spiritual director and, you know, he says, don't change anything. Don't do that.
That's a good sign.
Right.
At least for right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Let him get to know you a little bit
better. Yeah. And so actually when he tells me to do that, it's like, great. Now it's not my problem.
Right.
You know,
he told me.
I'm just obedience.
Yes.
I'm getting the grace
of
obedience.
The more obedient you become, the more free you become. It's like one of those paradoxes in the Christian life.
Totally.
You know, the more, okay, great. You just said, great. I don't have to worry about it.
It's not
I'm
my
obedient.
Problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And how, and now you're, you feel more free.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that, that's just so crazy how there's so many paradoxes like
Same
that.
Same is true with dogs. You know, like a dog, that's what I learned from Caesar Milan, a dog who is, who thinks he's the head of the house. He's yeah. always nervous and, you know, like freaking out about stuff. But when you, you know, tame the dog and you're like, listen, dog, I'm in control here. Then all of a sudden they're happy.
Yeah.
We're kind of like that way too. With God.
Very much so with God.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
How's your prayer life?
It's going pretty well overall. So here's something that I really struggle with in adoration. You know, I think that every man should have an adoration hour. If you don't have an adoration hour once a week, it's time to get one.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
It's time to get one, man.
I mean, you don't have to. You definitely should.
You definitely should. But here's what I struggle with in adoration. I try to just be silent a lot of times, you know, to listen, to, you know, to allow God to speak to me, to, you know, just kind of meditate on maybe a mystery of the rosary, something. But whenever I'm that still and that quiet, I struggle with staying awake. I mean, I just
do. Shocker.
Yeah. I just do.
Yeah.
And it's so embarrassing to be in adoration and, you know, you're sitting there breaking your neck, you know, with your head bobbing. And you're like, no, I'm serious, guys. I'm trying my best to just be in the presence of God.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to do it, obviously.
Well, you know what Saint Therese says about it. I think it was Saint Therese. It was either Saint Therese or
Avila.
Or Avila. Anyway, whoever it was. She said that when a father is holding his child, he doesn't really care if the child is awake or asleep.
See, I like that, but then I also think, like, Jesus is over there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's like, could you not just stay awake for
yeah.
1 hour
yeah.
to pray with me?
I know.
And I'm like, dang it. I want to.
But, you know, the moral life is all about your intention.
Yeah.
What is...
And I can drink, like, I can drink coffee right before adoration, and it still happens.
Yeah.
Caffeine doesn't affect me as much. So, anyway, when we get back, we're going to jump straight into the topic. I'm here with David Niles in studio with the Juan Posada. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back, y'all, to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan, Juan Posada in the peanut gallery / button machine.
Yes.
So, do we have a topic today?
We do. Before we do, let's make sure we talk about the E6 Men's Conference.
Okay.
Going to just, 30, 45 minutes outside of Cincinnati. To the E6 Men's Conference. There's still tickets available. Just Google E6 Men's Conference.
Yeah, I was like trying to remember their website, but
it's
E6men.com or
org.
Just Google
yeah,
it.
Just Google it. Mark Hart is going to be there. Trent Horn's going to be there.
Sweet.
I'm really pumped just to be in attendance, really, because those guys are
yeah,
awesome.
I mean, it'll be a great conference.
Yeah, we're going to be emceeing the event, so that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
If you want us to come... Should I say anything about what we have in the works? It's not official yet.
I don't know.
It's not official yet.
Say it.
Juan's telling me to say it, so if it's a bad idea, we can blame Juan.
Okay. All right.
We will possibly be speaking at the International Courage Conference this year.
Yeah.
In the summertime, which I'm really pumped about. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about authentic friendship.
I'm really excited about that.
So,
to get to go to the conference, to be there at Mundelein, at the Liturgical Institute.
Yeah, it's just a win all across. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that happens. It has not been finalized, but...
Maybe hang out with the liturgy guys.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, hopefully that happens. So
God willing. Holy indifference, my friend.
Holy
indifference.
So we don't have necessarily a topic today, per se. But I was just reflecting, we just got back from the Phoenix Men's Conference, which is a great conference. Bishop Olmsted is just awesome. One of the best.
He's the man.
One of the best bishops around. And you know, we met the Sisters of Life there. We met Sister Bethany Madonna there,
yeah,
which was great.
Yeah.
Father Dwight Longenecker was there. Mm-hmm. But Dave, on the way back, you and I were kind of reminiscing, or not, you know, we were kind of reviewing what we learned from the conference, what stood out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And both you and I said, you said this actually about the Sisters of Life, and I said this about Bishop Olmsted, and we both felt the same way. It was reciprocated, but it was like, those people are so holy, and I just love them so much that I'm willing, like, I would be willing to do anything they say.
Right, yeah.
You know, I just want to be around them.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk to them.
Yeah.
And obviously, that's because holiness is attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to, like, I just wanted to talk about how that happens.
Yeah.
You know, because there's certain people that you meet in your life that you just realize are holy. I think that's why that, you know, nuns that are in their habits and they're out in public, you know, there's people that come running up to them and say, hey, will you please pray for me for, mm-hmm. you know, this intention?
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's a priest that's walking through the airport and he can't get to his gate because he has people coming to him, asking him to pray for him.
Yeah.
There's just something about people who are holy that when you encounter them,
well, you know, you can just tell by being around them that, you know, you are a holy person.
Mm-hmm.
You have typically what I think the major characteristic is a joy. They have a deep interior joy that you can tell. It's not like they just have learned to walk around with a smile on their face.
Mm-hmm.
You can just tell by the way that they react to comments, the way that they react to you, that they have this deep, they've got something that that very few people have to this depth.
Yeah. So do you think it's because of their prayer life?
Yes. So I was going to say that these people in my, you know, because I've really only met a handful of people like this in my whole life. The kind of person that when you're with them, you just want to, you know, well, you want to follow him around, you know, like,
I mean, there's a priest
you
here
want it
Tulsa
to keep
that,
going
that,
on and on and on.
Yeah, Monsignor Gallus,
yeah.
who we've had on the show to mm-hmm. talk about G.K. Chesterton. He's kind of one of those guys for me.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, anytime that I get a chance to hang out with him, I want to pick his brain. I want to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, hey, how should I do this in my prayer? You know, I just want to ask him questions like, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because whatever you're doing is working.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Sister Bethany Madonna, she's a Sister of Life. She seems fairly young. I'm not sure how long she's been. She could be 10
she's
years.
She's the vocation director.
Could
vocation,
be 10 years in. I mean,
she's in charge of vocations for the Sisters of Life.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't know, but
right.
She's on Twitter?
No.
She's not on Twitter?
No.
Okay. But it was just such a blessing to get to talk to her and hear her and not only hear what she said, but watch her say it about when she talked about just how real and how unexpectedly real when she joined the sisters, spiritual motherhood is in her life and how deeply profound she said that it has affected her.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way she said it and to like see her eyes and stuff when she was talking to us about this, it was just it was amazing. To watch her just be so in love with her vocation.
See, okay, so that was about what I was going to say is it has to be because of the love that she has for her vocation.
Yeah.
Which is something that we should all have,
mm-hmm.
you know, as men, we're fathers in some way. Every man is a father in some way. You know, and that should be a love that you have. But how do we do that? How do we replicate that? Because, you know, think about it. If we had, you know, 100 Sister Bethanys, or 100 Bishop Olmsteds, or whoever you're the holy person that's in your life, you know, if we had 100 of those people, think about how the world would change.
Yeah. So
how do we replicate that?
So Bishop Slattery, emeritus here of the mm-hmm. Diocese of Tulsa and Eastern Oklahoma, recently told me that the first step in this journey is allowing God to love you. And he said, that sounds easy, but it's very hard. It's actually very hard to do because first you have to know who you have to know yourself well, you know, and how hard is that? You know, even if you're as honest as you think you can be,
Right.
You just don't see yourself.
Well, St. Paul even says that in the Bible.
Right. Yeah, right? Exactly.
You know, he talks about, like, you know, I have nothing on my conscience, but I can't judge myself.
But I still don't judge myself. Right. And that's coming from someone who was as close to perfection as he was,
right?
You know, living in pretty close.
I mean,
to,
he's really close to where you are.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, like, so for him to say that, it's a
high level.
It's a big deal.
Right. High level.
So if he can't even judge himself, what does that say about the rest of us? So anyway, allowing God to love you
is the first step.
Well, that's what we need to do. I'm not really sure exactly what the first step is.
Right.
I think I don't know if you can say the first step, because that depends on who you are.
Right.
You know, it depends on where are you in relation to the path. Depends on the first step, you know, because you should be taking I think you see what I'm saying.
Yes, I do.
But so Sister Bethany and really all of the Sisters of Life, I actually went up and told them that I had fallen in love with them and that I would do anything that they asked me to, just because I did. That's
right.
And they knew it. They knew what I meant when I said that, you know, that it was just
right. It's not like
it was a love of admiration. Mm-hmm. You know, I just admired them so much.
It's so interesting, though, because when that happens, you know, you even said, like, I'll do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Want me to. That's how I felt with even Bishop Olmstead.
You know, yeah,
like,
I know.
Just tell me.
I did the same thing.
Tell me
then,
what you want me to do. And it's interesting because when that happens, you want to do whatever they want you to do, but ultimately all they want you to do is what is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it's like,
yeah.
I want to do your will, but really all your will is God's will.
Which is kind of, that's basically what we're doing when we consecrate ourselves to Mary.
Right.
You know,
that's a good point.
You know, whatever we consecrate ourselves to her, because her will is perfectly united with Christ's.
Right. With her son. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But so that's so interesting, because if you think about it, if you wanted that desire, it's like it could be perverted so quickly, right? You know, like, oh, people ask me, I have all this power.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but it's those people who say, I don't want that power.
Mm-hmm.
I just want you to do God's will. That's whenever people realize the level of holiness, I think. Don't you? I mean, because it seems like that it's like, I just want to do your will. That could be a dangerous territory
mm-hmm.
for the person who's hearing this.
Totally.
And unless they're so united with God's will and they have such a strong prayer life where it's like, just like Mary, it's like you're just bouncing off of me to God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And I think it's because we're seeing a reflection of God in them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's really why we're so attracted to these people. Is because they themselves have aligned their own will, their own lives with that of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was going to take a stab in the dark, I would guess that all the people in the world like this, like we're talking about, have a deep, profound prayer life and have a close, intimate relationship with suffering of some kind or another, whether it's emotional, right. Physical, spiritual,
So are we so spiritually deprived that when we see somebody like this, when we see somebody who is so holy, we're like, oh my goodness, how do we do this? We don't even know how to recreate this. Are we, you know, as even like the Catholic laity, like, are we so spiritually deprived where we're not even, our prayer life isn't strong enough, or maybe our sacramental life isn't strong enough to the point where when we see this, it's still attractive.
Mm-hmm.
There are still people who cleaved to, you know, Bishop Sheen whenever he was alive. You know, it's like even non-Catholics, they were like, oh my goodness, this is.
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's always been this way. You know, you think about the saints, just you hear the stories of the saints. It was always people were so attracted to them that the crowds
just
would gather.
Drove.
You know, Saint Benedict had to like leave, and people were miles and miles outside of town would just.
Right.
It got so much he had to leave again.
St. John Vianney would have to like be in confession for 17 hours
exactly,
in a row.
Exactly. So I think it's, anyway, we'll keep talking about it on the other side of the break.
All right.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Sipping on a little bit of a Koval four-grain whiskey distilled in Chicago. We did not have a man gear today. Dave and I are just kind of relaxing in studio. Before next week, we're having a Dr. Ray Guarindi on, which would be awesome. Dr. Ray will be our guest in studio next week, which will be a lot of fun.
Probably drinking coffee next week because we're going to be recording at 9 in the morning.
Yes.
On a Saturday.
So, but he's going to be here. And then after that, we'll be at the E6 Men's Conference, which will be awesome as well. So we're just kind of having a conversation. We've been talking about looking at holy people in general and how to imitate those people who are here on earth right now. We haven't really talked, we haven't broached the topic of the saints in heaven who we kind of did in between breaks. Check us out on YouTube. You can catch our conversations in between breaks.
Yeah. We're just kind of talking about the spiritual life a little bit.
Yes.
I've now had two spiritual direction sessions with my new spiritual director.
Okay. Yes.
And this last time I was, you know, we're still kind of getting to know each other a little bit.
Right.
So telling him, you know, this is kind of the things that I struggle with, blah, 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 blah. And every time I would tell him.
What are those, Dave?
Well, there's a lot of them. we went over it for an hour and we did not exhaust the list.
Right.
Okay. So like distraction in prayer. I already mentioned like the way my prayer life is kind of regimented. But anyway, every time I would bring this up, he would say, oh, there's a grace. The fact that you're aware that this is this is what you struggle with is a profound grace that you're receiving.
Hmm.
And so like every time I would try to talk about this, he would always put it back on this in the positive light of like, well, think about this. You know, this is a good thing that you're even aware of this and blah, 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 blah. So it's almost like just constantly centered on Christ, just that the whole perspective of the things that you struggle with. So I just found that, you know, made me like really think about just that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I definitely think that is a grace. That's something that when you know yourself even more, that's obviously a grace.
Right.
One thing that I think that is very interesting that here's something that I kind of struggle with at times, you know, as a guy, you know, as a man, I enjoy like a game plan. You know, I have these game plans. Like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and I'm going to check this box, and I'm going to go on to this one. A leads to B, to C, to D, you know, and I have this regimented game plan.
Yeah.
I notice that people who are very holy,
they go with the flow.
Yeah, they don't look at people as, like, this is my project.
Mm-hmm.
This is a guy, this is somebody that I'm, this is something that I'm working on.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, it's not authentic. Because it's like the whole saying of people don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going at it like as an attack, or making sure that you're in the defense mode all the time, it goes back to this authentic, like, I don't know who you really are. You're not being true to me.
So you're trying to say that when you take people as a project, very often you lose the I'm just going to love you element. That, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I think that that's why John Paul II was so, like, when people interact with them, you know, they said that when I engaged in a conversation with John Paul II, he made it seem like that I was the only person in the world, that I was the only person in the room, and he was 100% engaged in our conversation.
Yeah.
It did not matter what was happening around him. Is like, I'm focused on you. And I think that's also why John Paul II could remember everybody. Because he saw he said he saw a little piece of God in every single person.
I know. It's like, me sick.
It's like, oh my goodness.
How could I forget him? Like, I saw Christ in him. And how could I ever forget Jesus? Of course I remember that guy. It's like, give me a break, John Paul II.
That guy just cut me off in traffic. How do you see Christ in him?
You're going to make me throw up.
Yeah. I mean, but I think that's... that's the issue, right? It's when I make the most progress with people in conversations, it's not, I want to make sure that I have, if he says this, I say this. If he says this, I say this. It's like the apologetics chess moves. Like, if he goes here, I'm going here. I'm taking the...
Oh, man, and I hope he goes here because I'll slam him with this.
Right, and I get very little with going that route. It's
not a good route.
When we were talking to even Father Philip Bachansky, and we were talking about, you know, people who experience same-sex attraction, you know, it's not, you can't just be like, they need to know that that you love them.
Yeah.
They need authentic friendship. Mm-hmm. And once you get to the point of authentic friendship, then you can really make progress with them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Oh yeah. No, I definitely agree. That if you approaching people as projects and not people to be loved, mm-hmm. sinners who need your love, then it's not going to work very well. It's going to be weird. It's not going to be a real relationship, you know? Now, that being said, I think you can still take people on as a project as long as you maintain that element of love, you know? So like,
right. I mean, even the Bible says go and make disciples of men. So
right.
You need to go make disciples.
It just kind of depends. You know, I just want people to misunderstand what we're saying. You know,
right.
If you are taking some, okay, focus. Focus missionaries will choose to, they will take on disciples. You know, they will be like, oh, I'm discipling this person. Mm-hmm. And so that, what that means is I'm going to choose to invest a lot of energy in you.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't do that with everybody, you know? So,
right.
You know, they're taking on people, you could say, as a project, by investing in them.
But yeah, becoming friends with them. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I'm going
to know who that person is.
Yeah, I'm going
to
put my time into you, and forsake other people,
other goods,
yeah.
Or other goods
right.
in general.
Well, I could be spending time with other people, more people, but I'm going to spend more time with you just because that's, you know, part of what they do, building discipleship.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I think you can take this even to fatherhood, something that I can honestly say that I struggle with at times is I want to make sure that my kids know the faith. You know, I'm trying my best to pass down the faith and tradition as well as I can. Mm-hmm. And I could take them on as a quote unquote project where it's like, I want to make sure that they memorize the books of the Bible. I want to make sure that they know what virtue is. I want to know, you know, I want them to be able to say three theological virtues are faith, hope, and love, you know, and I have all these things that I'm trying to teach them. But if they don't know that I, as a dad, love them and that I can go and play catch with them and just be a dad and just, you know, have these intimate relationships
or just
with them.
Hang out where we don't have to study.
Yeah.
You know,
or
just because I want to be with you.
Yeah, because I just want to be with you as, you know, as a father.
Right.
All the other stuff doesn't meet, you know, will not translate over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I think is something that I do sometimes is I want my kids to learn those for my sake. Because I want to be a dad whose kids know the books of the Bible.
Right.
You know, it's almost like
I do that.
Almost like driving a nice fancy car. Hmm. You know, my kids can do all this stuff. And you know what I mean?
And I think that you should have that mentality as far as like, I want to make sure I pass down as much knowledge as I can to my kids, but it needs to be oriented in the right way.
Mm-hmm. But when it comes to projects, I definitely I do that with my prayer life. Like the rosary for me, it tends to be a project.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You know,
prayer life can be a project. Like,
Instead of sitting there and, you know, putting my energy into meditation, I think, no, I got to get through the rosary because I need to finish a rosary today.
Right.
You know, like that's a box I need to check off.
Mm-hmm.
But what if instead I just allowed myself to be engrossed in the mystery, which is not easy to do. You know, I'm not saying that I could just do that, but if I didn't have that mentality, maybe that would tend to happen more often, and spent 30 minutes and I only made it through three Hail Marys. And then I stopped and said, you know, that's all the time I have today for the rosary. That would be way better than
I think Jose
mindlessly
Escrivá says that.
Yeah.
I think he has one of those little like one liners where he says,
would not surprise me.
Yeah. That it's more efficacious to pray one Our Father than try to speed through a whole rosary.
Yeah. That guy's always stealing my material.
I know, isn't that
rude?
It's so frustrating when the saints steal your material.
This is what I get for not copywriting everything I say.
You can't verbal copyright things.
Copyright.
There you go.
Is that really a thing?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I thought that's just a joke.
It may be. I don't know.
Huh.
Okay, here's something else I want to talk about.
Okay.
I want to talk about. We only have 2 minutes left. Okay, that's fine. We can start this conversation. I want to talk about men's groups.
Okay.
Because I think that this kind of ties into what men's groups are, because we started off by saying like, hey, how's your prayer life? You know, we have these intimate groups, right? And it's like you're attracted to people who are holy. You want these people to be around you. You want people to be in these groups together. You know, I want you to come hang out with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you want to, the whole iron sharpens iron. You know, when you come together, you actually sharpen each other.
Right.
And I think maybe, I haven't fleshed this whole idea out, but I think that the reason why some of these bigger groups are struggling in today's world, in today's, you know, Catholic world, is because, and the reason why some of these grassroots groups are thriving is because they've gotten so big that the intimacy and the vulnerability of the group has been lost.
Yeah.
And the grassroots groups are thriving because it's more of, hey, I just want to hang out with these 8 guys, these 12 guys, however many,
mm-hmm.
because I know that you guys are going to push me to get to heaven.
Yeah.
And whenever you have 300 men or 1,200 men together, that's great. I mean, the conferences are very important. Those kind of things are very important. But it's the grouping together afterwards that is going to sustain you to moving forward. If you rely on all these big, you know, guys getting together, these huge groups, you're going to have these emotional highs and then you're going to fall.
Right.
Curcios, whatever you want to talk about. It's the reason why that it's important to have those men's groups, because it sustains you and keeps you going.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, we'll keep going. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about prayer mostly, I would say.
Holiness. Everybody needs to stop sinning.
Yeah, that's true. I'll stop after you stop. I'll stop as soon as you do.
No, you should just do that for the love of the Lord, not for me.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Yeah.
But I need you to do it too.
I plan on.
You're poisoning me over here, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, that
we're all the same body.
Right. There is one body of Christ.
Right, so you're poisoning me.
Okay.
We're swimming in the same pool, bro.
Yes, I agree. And so that's what we were talking about at the last segment, like the importance of having these men's groups.
Yeah.
Because the men's conferences, the Curcios, the Acts retreats, all these things are great. And they help you launch into a more holier life, but you got to have the men around you to sustain that once real life kicks back in.
Yeah. If you go, you cannot go from mountaintop to mountaintop, because that is not a mountain. There is by necessity a valley.
It's like a plateau.
Right, exactly.
It's what we call a plateau.
And there's no plateaus in the spiritual life,
no.
Except in heaven. And it's a sweet plateau. But even then, who knows? It could be a constantly ascending, you know, sort of thing. I don't know. I'll find out when I get there. God willing.
Yeah.
God, please. Please, God.
Yes.
Have mercy on me. You cannot go. I like the Curcio model. I haven't been to Acts yet. But
I forgot you haven't been to Acts.
Dude, I've been trying to go.
It's like no one's been inviting you.
No, that's not it. I've even put it on my calendar a few times. In fact, the reason I'm not going this time around is because
we'll be
at the E6 Men's Conference.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, I just know the Curcio model. Really, I think the most beneficial thing from Curcio is they give you that format
mm-hmm.
for you to start your small men's group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the small men's group is so much more important than the large men's group.
That's what we talked about at the Phoenix conference.
Yeah. And I think the people who came to our talk thought we were going to be talking about how to start a men's club.
Right. Or like a big men's group. Like,
right.
Like 50 men.
For the parish.
Yeah. 50 men come in and for breakfast in the morning. And we're going to talk, you know, on a
yeah.
and break into small
yeah,
groups.
Yeah. I mean, and that kind of stuff is really good. But if that's what you have and you don't have a small group of men, then I think you're skipping a step.
Yeah, it's like the whole, I have 5,000 Facebook friends, but I don't have one person to call if I'm in trouble.
Yeah. I've got like 12,000 Facebook friends.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I'm so popular.
Here's a question that I have. That it was actually asked on me by a Focus missionary here in Tulsa.
Okay.
They said, how are you evangelizing within your parish?
Hmm.
And I was like, that is a good question. You know, for a 22-year-old, that is a profound question. Because I think a lot of times we get so focused on evangelizing, you know, within work, outside of the walls, so yeah. to speak, that, you know, if we just evangelized in the walls, it's the whole pyramid, you know, scheme, but the whole pyramid idea of like, if I hit three people and they three people and, you know, all of a sudden you have a lot of disciples.
And make the church inside the walls, make a place that is cool that people on the outside say, hey, what's going on in there?
Right.
You know,
it's not like the Jehovah's Witness kind of thing where it's like, there's no windows.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what's going on? What are you guys doing in there?
And talk about virtues violation.
Yeah.
I don't know how many dioceses have virtues, not all of them.
Oh, they don't.
Yeah, many of them
do. They should.
There's different programs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
But so.
Anyway.
So, I mean, this is. I haven't
okay. So
about
I think
this.
There's a lot of. Yeah, we haven't talked about any of these things, but.
Right.
I mean.
Here's what hit me.
Before this, but.
Here's what hit me.
Okay, tell me.
Pew party.
Yeah.
Two words. Pew party.
Pew party.
Dave. Tell them what a
party over here.
Tell them what a pew party is.
Okay. My father-in-law came up with this idea. Shout out to Dan O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is he did this. He talked about doing it for years. And then finally somebody said, you know, Dan, are you just going to keep talking about it? Or are you actually going to do it? And so he went out and did it.
Let's walk the walk.
He got like formal invitations. Okay.
Okay.
Passed them out at mass. What you do is you invite everybody in your pew,
because we're creatures of habit.
Everybody sits.
You basically sit. In
you
the
know
same
what I'm
pew.
Talking about? Yeah. So it's those people.
Right.
Those people. You have a pew. If you don't have a pew, you're like the 1% or something. You know, you're. I don't know. You're a trendsetter or something.
Yeah.
If you move around all the time, but most people don't. So you invite everybody in your pew, and two pews ahead of you, and two pews behind you. Just over to your house for a party. Just get to...
For a brunch or lunch.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Whatever.
Maybe, lunch after mass or... I mean, it depends on what mass you go to. But so you just do it. And then you invite them to do it. Okay, so the people in the pew ahead, in front of you, they do it. So they invite two in front and two behind. So you go to their party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they... You know, also the people two in front of you, they do it. And so you go to their party.
Mm-hmm.
And you just need one person in each pew to do it. And so you end up going to five parties, but each time you go, there's a new
set of people.
So it kind of like slowly brings in new blood,
mm-hmm.
Where you can kind of get to know the other people a little bit better, because I'll bet you don't know the people.
That's what I was just about to say.
Two pews back.
Right.
Okay. The pew behind you, the pew in front of you. Like, yeah, you know those guys' names.
I mean, I've been guilty of there was a family that sat, you know, behind us, but to the right of us, you know, and they sat there for months.
Yeah.
Same spot. And I was like, oh yeah, that family.
The distance.
I couldn't tell you all of their names.
Is it the distance where you can't quite reach for the sign of peace?
Right.
So you just give the wave.
Shoot the peace sign. Peace be with you.
Right.
Yeah. Don't hold my hand in the air, Father. No,
right.
I'm just, anyway, you know, you ask, you know, it's like, I know that family. I don't know their names.
Yeah.
And like, that's embarrassing. Like, how are we supposed to make disciples if we don't even know the people around us? Who are worshiping with us every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. So the pew party, I think, is a great idea. Also, I just think the way that you attend mass says a lot. You know, are you dressed well? Can other people tell that this is clearly a priority for you and your family? Because I think that even if you don't know the people, even if it's person on the other side of the church, you know, maybe the church that they always see you across the way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if they can tell, you know, you put effort into getting to mass, you know, you don't show up in sandals and flip-flops, no, shorts and flip-flops,
sandals
and flip-flops.
That would be actually impressive. If somebody did that,
be a little weird. Yeah. Shorts and flip-flops, you know, that I think that says a lot. A, it helps build the culture of your community, the mm-hmm. community that comes to your mass.
It's kind of like the whole, the first woman who veils at mass, then all of a sudden, you know, courage breeds courage.
Right.
So it's, oh, she's doing it.
Yeah, that totally happened. I mean, Pamela and Haley, they both started veiling, mm-hmm. and it was because, Alyssa's doing it. All right, well, then I'm doing it too.
Right.
Kind of, they wanted to.
But. Right, well, the courage breeds courage.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why it's important for men to get together. And I think that's why it's important for the bishops to get together.
Yeah, but I think that we should be putting our efforts into our parish.
Right. So that's what I was going
to
say.
Like, you know, if you have time to spend, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
If you have time to spend, you know, working on stuff for, you know, church, we'll just say church related stuff. You know, we need to follow the principle of subsidiarity. Mm-hmm. You know, you take care of yourself, you take care of your family, you take care of, you know, if anybody in your parish is your neighbor, then you take care of your parish, then you take care of the diocese. So, you know, in those concentric circles going out. Is that concentric?
No.
What's, I think it is, you know, circles that get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well, it has to all be like
concentric circles are all the same?
Yeah, it has to be at least level with all the others.
Equidistant.
Anyway, ripple effect.
There you go.
People know. The people know.
People are smarter than us anyway that listen to this show.
Way smarter.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that it's like men have to, like, you know, we're involved in fantasy football leagues. We're involved in all these like extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
We go to business meetings. We go to, I don't know, whatever, all the other things that you want, the yacht clubs, whatever whatever you want to go to. I go to a lot of yacht clubs.
I wouldn't be turning down any yacht clubs.
I go to, you know.
It would be ridiculous.
But I think that it's important, like, okay, if that's the case, like, you have other things that are important to you in your life. You need to also make sure that your parish is involved. You know, you need to be a part of the men's group. You need to be showing up to the men's group, the women's, mm-hmm. you know, the women's group, the Knights of Columbus, the... you know, the finance council.
I mean, you should be doing the parish before the Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, yeah. I was just trying to think of other...
I mean, I guess.
Well, Knights of Columbus are sometimes...
Very parish-based. Our council is multiple parishes put together, which is different, I think.
But I think it's important to make sure that you're very visible within the church, I guess.
I mean, making sure that you've prioritized your time so that you are putting it into your parish before you're putting it into other things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Secular things,
even other church things.
Sure,
you know, like if you're Mark Hart, he's getting pulled out. You know, we mentioned him already. Hopefully, he's putting time into his parish too, and I'll bet he is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's super holy.
It'd be tough though, traveling every weekend to still.
Yeah, that'd be so tough.
Yeah.
Which got into like a whole. I actually wanted to talk about the whole idea of ministry, but we ran out of time. But I had a good I enjoyed our conversation today. Yeah. I don't know if everybody else did. Juan, did you enjoy it?
He gave us a thumbs up. Thumbs up.
I'll take that. I'm excited to see all the men at the E6 Men's Conference. There's still tickets available. Go check that out. Patreon.com/The Catholic Man Show. We're now on Patreon. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.
CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic healthcare ministry to provide an affordable health sharing solution rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast. That's mycatholichealthcare.com/podcast.